Hello there, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, and I expect the Take Two family to weigh in on this topic today, or this question that I'm going to ask in just a minute. And this is the way the show works. You call in, you speak to Matt Gubinsky, he'll chat with you for a few minutes, he'll put you on hold, you get to listen live, and you'll slip right into the discussion. And Take Two is a wonderful platform for us to come together as the laity to really share our lived experiences so that others can learn and grow and get closer to God. That's the whole idea of Take Two, so that when we leave this brief hour together, we are a little bit changed and a little bit closer to God. Okay, so you're going to have to think about this for a minute, and I'm just going to tell you up front, you don't have to give your real first name, okay? But so give a confirmation name or give a name that you wish your parents always called you instead of the name that you were given at birth, okay? Because it's a little bit heavier, and I want to make sure I keep your privacy and your past, intact there. What's the worst trouble you've been in? What's the worst trouble you've ever gotten into? What's the worst past situation you had? Maybe you did some jail time. Maybe you did something foolish and it turned out really bad. Maybe it was a decision you made in the family and it was disastrous and it was something that has been haunting you. Let's talk about it, because I'm going to mention too about scripture and what scripture tells us about really letting the past define you. And also, of course, just an amazing saint, John Paul II, talking about the quote that used to always get circulated, what he said. And I'm going to share both of those things, but I need you to light up the phone lines first. So you got to think about it. Just think about this topic for a minute. Go back into your past and see if you can share with the world. You can remain, anonymous in the aspect that you give like a confirmation name. And okay, so we're not going to give you a real name if you feel you don't want to like shout to the world what you did in the past. But let's face it. Everybody, thanks to Adam and Eve, everybody has a past, whether it's small choices that we've made that were just ridiculous choices or some really big things that we've entered into that caused us to really, just have a different type of past than we wanted. And maybe it was involved the law or something of that nature. We all have a past. Now, it's what we do today and going forward that really makes the difference. And that's what we're going to tap into today. Did you grow from this experience? Did you learn from this experience? Did you get closer to God from this experience? Did people show up at the right time to help you? Were people kind to you? Were they sympathetic? Did they walk with you? All sorts of things we're going to talk about, and you'll see how it works, but you got to weigh in. And here's the number. Get ready, go. I'm going to share, Ellen on Facebook, by the way, like us on Jerry and Debbie Facebook page, please. Ellen on Facebook just jogged my memory because I was trying to think of what's the worst thing I've ever gotten into or done. And it involves my little 1-year-old child. So but it was an accident. I'll just share it with everybody. Okay, so here, and he's fine. He's in his 30s. He's all healthy. No worries about him. Okay, but here's the number. 833-288-EWTN. It's 833-288-EWTN. 3986. What's the worst trouble you've ever gotten into? You don't necessarily have to give us the details of what happened, although if you want to, that's fine. But we really want to know what you learned from it, how you've grown from it. You get the picture. You can also text us. We're starting to get texts. I think this is so cool. You can text the letters EWTN to 58177. You wait for our response. Then you text us your first name and your brief question. Message and data rates may apply, so just know that. Today's the day we remember a blessed Michael McGivney. And I just wanted to say that this is near and dear to my life and my home. My dad was a Knight of Columbus. My husband's a fourth degree Knight of Columbus. Jerry Usher's a fourth degree Knight of Columbus. So blessed Michael McGivney, please pray for us. Okay, we're going to get to the phones. We already got them lighting up. And Pam will be first when we come back, but I just wanted to make sure I set the table properly so you can think about this topic and then weigh in on it. What's the worst trouble you've been in? That's the question we're asking today. And I want everyone to remember that if you look at Jeremiah 29:11, which is one of my favorite scripture verses, I actually have it in my home. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and to not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future, plans to give you hope and a future." Okay, I read it from a different translation. I was going to switch to a different one, but you get the picture. So God has plans for us to prosper, not to harm us, to give us hope and a future. Think about that for a moment. This is very, very important. When we go into our past and we ruminate about it and we say, "Oh, we shouldn't have done that. This is I messed up. Life is never going to be good. People aren't going to accept me. I'm never going to amount to anything." And we start dwelling on that. That goes against what God says is truth in the living word. So when God declares, he declares, this is what it says in Jeremiah 29:11. It's God is declaring this. So he is stating this very emphatically. Okay, I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future and for you to have hope. So that's what we want to talk about today. You may have been in a past situation, and now people are using that against you. People are saying to you, "Oh, that's, you're always going to be like that. You're never going to change. Things are," that's another thing I want to tell you. The words "always" and "never" are relationship killers when you do that, because you box somebody right into a corner and they have no way to really shine, to really be the best they can be when people say "always" and "never." So if maybe you're feeling like that today, let's talk about it and make this day the first day of the rest of your life in a whole new way, just like Jeremiah 29:11 speaks in the Word of God. Here's the number, call in. I really need your company. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. We got Matt on the phones, Charles at the controls, Michael on social media. I'm waving to everybody. I'm going to get to Ellen and the other social media comments. Pam, you're going to be first up when I come back from this very short break. Please call in and share about your past and some choices you've made that they didn't go well. You know, you got into trouble. Let's talk about it. Okay? This is your show. It's a safe place. Call in. I'll be right back. Okay, I'm asking the question today on Take Two. What is the we want to know the trouble, the worst trouble you've been in or you've gotten into. So go into your past. Okay, maybe you're dealing with something right now, and it was a choice that you made just recently, and we can talk about that as well. Just make sure you remain, you know, as anonymous as you want to. I don't want you to out everything on the world stage here. Okay. I wanted to share John Paul II real quickly. Pam, hold on real quickly. It's John Paul II's famous quote, "We are not the sum of our weaknesses and failures. We are the sum of the Father's love for us and our real capacity to become the image of his son, Jesus." So we are not the sum of our weaknesses and failures. Okay. So don't let anybody tell you that. That's not good. If somebody holds you in your past, that's not healthy for you. And Pam, hold on. I'm going to get to you in just a second. I wanted just to read. If you have the iHeartRadio app, you can listen to the EWTN Radio live stream. So go to iHeartRadio and search EWTN. I wanted to read that because we are getting a lot of calls in from iHeart. So that's really, really good. Okay. Worst trouble you've ever been in. That's the topic today. Let's roll, you guys. Call in. Let me give the number again, 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN is another way to remember it. Okay, Pam in Sylvania, Ohio on Annunciation Radio. Hello, Pam. Welcome to the program.
Hello. So I'm going to do this quick because it's a long story. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So it was in 1980 or so. I was a young adult, just graduated from high school. I had met a young man recently, and without him inviting me to come see him, I decided to go take like a 25-minute drive from Holland, Ohio, to Bowling Green, Ohio, which Bowling Green is a college town. So I don't know if I was drinking before I left or when I got there. You know, I didn't drink while I was actually behind the wheel, but I was intoxicated. Mm-hmm. So the car that I drove was an older car, and so the headlights, sometimes I had to bang on them gently to get them to start up, you know, to light up. So when I got to the town and then I decided to go home, of course I was still drunk, and I got in the car and mm-hmm. the lights didn't turn on. So I got outside the car and I gently hit the both headlights. One turned on, one did not.
Right.
So I said, I'm just going to go home. I just want to go home with one headlight on. And I was drunk. So I just took off. You know, I drove slowly. I, you know, obeyed the speed limit. It was pitch dark and all the very busy town at this time of night. And the policeman, he saw me. And so he pulled me over. I thought that I would be able to, like, get away. So what I did was I made a right-hand turn and, you know, to try to get away from him. But mm-hmm. I didn't go any further than that. I, like, parked my car in the street. So common sense and God helped me out. So then what happened was, at that time, they, for some reason, didn't put me in handcuffs. And they just took me to the police station and let me sit in their lobby and just sit there for a few minutes. And then they allowed me to make a phone call to have somebody come get me so they can drive me home. And let's see what else. So that's how that worked out. And so the car was not impounded from what I remember. It was still on the street when we went to get it maybe the next day. So we didn't have that fee.
Wow.
So nowadays, it's all different. You know, they handcuff you, they impound your car,
mm-hmm.
and I'll put you in jail. And this was, I drank for 11 years. So then God, in 1990, he took that away from me, and I'm so thankful.
Oh, Pam. Oh, wow. You've been through a lot. So you said, now, just let's, before we let you go, I know you said you wanted to tell your story quickly, but yeah, God's grace is amazing. You learned a lot, I'm sure, through that. But you said God took it away from me. How did he take it away from you? I'm just curious, because people have these things that are burdening them. They have these addictions and things they turn to when they're hurting. They want God to take it away from them as well. How did you do it?
Well, for a long time, God was telling me to stop drinking, and I couldn't. It was so hard. I couldn't. And so what I did was a geographical change. I moved from Toledo, Ohio. Actually, it was Holland, Ohio. I moved from there, and I went to another state with my family. We had young kids. We had a young daughter at the time. And that helped a lot because I didn't have the triggers. You know, there was no
right.
triggers. And when when we came back home eventually to live back home, all the triggers were gone. So I've been sober, thanks to God.
Wow. So you removed yourself from the area that caused you to just go to that kind of that sad or that dark place, right? So you changed your location, and so then you could start fresh, basically.
Yes. And
yeah.
Definitely when I went down there to South Carolina, I was going to church. It was a Protestant church, but I was still going to church, and I believed in God, mm-hmm. still believe in God and Jesus Christ.
Wow. Let me ask you a question. So you had this past, and how do people accept you today? Do they accept all of that, or are people still critical? I'm just curious, because I've found that sometimes with things that we've done in the past, or we've gone through in the past, there are certain people that are very empathetic. They're wise, they're reasonable. And then there's others that still kind of have that question mark over their head when we're encountering them. What do you say about that?
People are not critical. They've been very empathetic. Yeah, they
nice.
Understand.
Wow. Well, I would say, Pam, you're blessed. You realize that, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. I have to thank you so very much because that, you know, for you to make the call, you're the first caller for this topic. And, you know, it's what's the worst trouble you've ever been in? That's the question I'm asking the Take Two family. And for you to call in, you really care about others. That's huge. So God has transformed you in all things because now you're teaching. You're teaching others about God's grace. I think it's beautiful. Thank you, Pam, so very much. I appreciate the call today.
You're welcome. Praying for you.
Thank you. Please do. I'm working on this eye issue thing. It's always an issue right now. Well, it's not always an issue. It's just recently been an issue, but it's difficult, but I'm hanging in there through your prayers. I live on prayers, you guys. Thank you. I'm a prayer beggar. I'll beg for any prayers possible. So thank you so very much. What's the worst trouble you've ever been in? I really would like you to call in. You can use your confirmation name. You don't have to, you know, out yourself or any of the situation or the details. You can do it so beautifully like Pam did. Please call in. It's important. It's important we do this work so that we can share with others. People are losing hope, folks. They're losing hope. Just look at the statistics out there of people wanting to end their life and things like that. It's not good. We need to build each other up. This is building up the body of Christ here. So if you have something to say and you can share about how God has helped you through it, like Pam said, the blessings, the graces, the gifts coming through that, then share it with the world so that others can be encouraged and they can persevere and keep going. So call in. Don't hesitate. Don't wait till the end of the show because you know me. By now, I don't like to leave anybody on the line hanging there at the end of the show. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You can also text us. Text the letters 58177. You text the letters EWTN to 58177. You know how to do it. Wait for the response, then text your first name, your question, and just know that some rates may apply. Okay, but please call in, fill those phone lines. What's the worst trouble you've ever been in? I want to know what you learned from that experience. I'm going to share Ellen on social media because she triggered something for me that I remembered that happened with my young, I think he was only like 15 months old, my oldest child. It was horrible. But let's hear what Lorraine has to say. And Lorraine is in Schreiber, Ontario, Canada, on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Lorraine. Welcome to the program.
Oh, hello. My phone is all screwy here. I was listening to Michael, and here I am. Anyway, thanks for taking my call. I'm the one that has you on speed dial.
Oh, thank you.
I love you people. I love you people. Just quickly, I don't want to go into too much detail. In 1988, this month, I'm losing my sound.
Oh, we can hear you. You can just keep talking. We can hear you.
Okay, you can hear me all right? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we hear you perfectly.
My husband, I'm getting a feedback, sorry. Mm-hmm. My husband, I confessed my infidelity to my husband. We had I'm Catholic, he's not. But and a week later, he killed himself.
Ooh.
And I won't describe everything I went through, but God, I lost my faith in God. But anyway, I resorted to active alcoholism and drinking. Within 5 years, I lost my son. I lost everything I had, my property, my business, my family. And I was living on the street. Mm-hmm. And I was living kind of a life of crime to survive, and I got picked up finally by the police in January of 93 and sent to a mental institution. And anyway, here I am today, years later, and I'm sober and clean for 31 years.
Wow.
And my son has grown up, and well, my family's reunited. But, you know, what my husband did and all that, it really knocked me for a loop. And all I can say was when I was incarcerated in a mental institution, is God ever there, man? Does he ever love people hurting? So in my life today, it's very good, very peaceful. And God sends women my way who have gone through the same thing. They find me. Mm-hmm. And I know women, they're still years later, 20 years later, still dealing with that grief. And man, is God in there with that, that I can share my experience with them. And and I just think I'm going to ask quickly for prayers and get off the line here because I don't know if you can hear me. My phone's dead.
Yeah, no. You go right ahead. You're doing great.
anyway, my brother, I have one brother, he's dying.
Oh.
But he's the first sibling I'm going to lose, and he's my only brother. Mm. And his name is Joe Dovash, and if you could all pray for him, because he really doesn't believe in God.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and he's just suddenly full of cancer and paralyzed. And he's like me, a person who lives for the outdoors and that. So, mm-hmm. But he's doing okay, and I got him. We've been talking about heaven on the phone because he's long distance away, small town. We don't have the facilities for him.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm so thankful. We talked about euthanasia, which is big in Canada, and he says, I wouldn't do that to you, girls. Mm. Thank God for that, and because it's rough in Canada here, but please pray for my brother, Joe, and thanks for listening to me. God's in everything, and God is so good.
Yeah,
and so are you folks. Thank you so very much.
Well, Lorraine, we're with you in prayer for Joe. I mean, that's really hard when siblings start to go and meet the Lord. It's there's an incredible level of loss that we feel, and so we're with you in prayer, and just know that we love you and you're strong and you've been through a lot, and that is tough. What you shared about here, you confess this infidelity and then your husband died by suicide, and and I want to just tell you, Lorraine, it reminds me of a dear friend that I had in my neighborhood when my kids were small. A similar thing happened with her marriage. Her and her husband, it wasn't infidelity, but they were having trouble in the marriage, and we believe that he put himself in a position to end his life, and it's so hard what it does to everyone, and it's something that you have to try to get through and live with, and then but to go on and go forward with knowing that God sees everything, knows everything, and he wants everybody to, just like Jeremiah 29:11, to prosper, to heal, to have hope, to have a future, to have encouragement, to be excited about life, to move forward, and to get back to him. The goal is to get back to God. And so, Lorraine, you're on a beautiful path. We love you to pieces. Thank you for having us on Speed Dial. God bless you. And we've got your brother and your whole family in the book. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so very much. The power of prayer. Thank you.
Yep, the power of prayer. Amen to that, sister. I'm right with you. I'm such a believer. Okay, so we've got more calls coming in, and I'll get to them shortly. There is room for you because Lorraine just freed a phone line. Please call in if you have something to say about this. I'm asking, what's the worst trouble you've ever been in, or situation, or it doesn't even, it can be something even small. I'll share what Ellen had to share on Facebook about leaving her keys and her cell phone in her home. Similar thing happened to me, but you do live with that because there's different. It stays with you when you go through something that's even a small crisis or a small traumatic experience to a very big life experience. It stays with you, and it does somewhat shape you in how you think going forward, but it doesn't define you, okay? And that's the key. So I really want you to remember that. So what's the worst trouble you've been in? What did you learn? Where was God's grace? Did you have a conversion experience? Did you feel your guardian angel beside you? Did you have people that stepped up that really were those wonderful Christian examples around you? Call in and share with us. Don't hesitate, folks. This is a huge topic today. It's kind of a heavy topic today, but it's one that's needed because we know from looking at what's going on in the world that it's people are losing hope. It's that simple to say, but it's very deep. So we have to infuse hope into the world to get people to realize that they got to hang on. They got to persevere. 833-288-EWTN. What's the worst trouble you've ever been in? 833-288-3986. Please fill those last open phone lines. And when I come back, I'll get to the phones and some more just great announcements. And I'll talk about what Ellen had to say on Facebook. I can totally relate when I come back. So hang in there. Stay with us. I'm asking the question today on Take Two of the Take Two family. What's the worst trouble you've ever been in? And could you share with us some of the outcomes, what you've learned, how you've grown, how people have received you, how you're dealing with the past. You don't have to give your real first name if you don't want to. Give a confirmation name or another name. I don't like to say, hi, anonymous, welcome to the program. It just sounds so cold. We're a family. So if you could give a name, that would be fantastic. And I'll get back to the phones in just a moment. If you'd like to weigh in on this, it's a very, very important topic. So we're asking about the worst trouble you've ever been in, or it could be small situation that happened that really it's always stayed with you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. But before we go to the phones, I want to share with everybody. Actually, I want to congratulate. I want to do a shout out and congratulations going out to another member of the EWTN radio family. Annunciation Radio with five signals serving the Diocese of Toledo is celebrating 14 years with EWTN. Congratulations to Dave Vacherez and his great team at Annunciation Radio from your friends here at EWTN. I have a special close relationship with Annunciation Radio because I've done their pledge drives for many years, helped to do their pledge drives. And also, I get to do their Word of the Day on Fridays, Friday morning on the morning show there. And I just feel very close to the team there. So congratulations, you guys, 14 years. That's a lot of souls to reach. So very, very cool. Okay, I want to get to Ellen's comment on social media because I referenced it like three or four times and it's not, and probably Ellen's listening and she's going, why isn't she just going to share my situation? Well, it's because I have to share mine, Ellen, and I was holding off because I was trying to figure out how I was going to say it without looking like a really terrible mom. Okay, Ellen says, I closed the front door too hard and the door locked. And the keys to the house were inside and the cell phone is charging. My other door to the house was locked as well. I went to a neighbor for help. Now I always keep my house keys and cell phone if I go outside for anything. Actually, that's a fabulous idea to grab your cell phone anytime, even if you're doing yard work. I always tell my sister because my sister goes out and does yard work and it's very hot in Arizona. And I always tell her, you should just bring the cell phone outside and put it on the patio table just in case something happens. You know, God forbid you trip or fall or do anything. This way you can grab the cell phone. So I'm always reminding her anyway. I think it's a good idea to grab. I do, Ellen. I grab the keys and the cell phone. And when I go outside, even if I'm going to the mailbox, we have those, what you call community mailboxes here in Arizona. We don't have a personal mailbox. I miss the days when we had our own mailbox where you could decorate it and all sorts of things. It was so cool. We don't have that here. We have ours as a community mailbox. But Ellen, I can relate in a different way, though. It's a little different. You actually jogged my memory and I wanted to share this, but let me give the number again. We're talking about what's the worst trouble or maybe a choice that you made that put you in a situation that now you always remember it or you think about it and or it's changed the way you do things. Like Ellen grabs her keys now and grabs her cell phone. So it changes the way you think about when you make your choices, especially when you're rushing around. So please call in if it's the worst trouble you've ever been in or a little minor trouble or something you'd like to talk about. Please don't wait any longer because I'm going to run out of time. 833-288-EWTN. It's 833-288-3986. That's the number to call. What's the worst trouble you've ever been in? And I just wanted to say to Pam and to Lorraine, our Take Two family is so grateful to you both that you called in and shared your stories because it's really helping folks. The Take Two family were not nosy. Excuse me. Let me get a little water here. We're not nosy. We just like the details. It's very important. Okay. So we definitely need the details so we can learn and grow together. So it's not like, oh, we want all the, give us the scoop, you know, give us all the details we want. We're so curious. No, no, no. We need the details so we can apply them to our lives and have a better spiritual, more confident life. Okay. So just know that it's not that I don't want anyone to think that it's like, oh, we just want the inside scoop. No. But I will tell you, we have a lot of listeners that aren't Catholic. So if you're not Catholic, please consider calling in because we're very friendly and we want to learn and grow as the body of Christ together. So all you have to do, it's very friendly, very easy. Call up, dial this number, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Speak to Matt and then, he will put you on hold. You'll get to listen live and you'll come right into the discussion. Okay, we just have two open phone lines, so quickly grab those lines if you feel prompted by the Spirit to tell us what trouble you've been in or what situation you had, like Ellen, and okay, now I'll share. I can't delay any longer. I just can't. It's not fair. Excuse me. That's probably why I'm getting choked up. Honestly, it really is. This situation really bothers me. And Ellen reminded me of this. Okay, I was a first-time mom. Okay, first-time mom. My son was about, I think, 15 months old. I was so overprotective of everything. I tried everything. I was the one that used to sterilize the bottles like five times to make sure everything was perfect. Now, when the second one came along, it wasn't that big of a deal. We had like the 3-second rule and stuff like that. So, they both lived, they both survived. They're both healthy and doing great. So thank God. But my son was in the car seat. He was, obviously, you know, strapped into the car seat safely in the center of the car. And I was rushing to go to a play date with the other moms. And we were going to McDonald's. Now, I just want to stress up front that I was not crazy about going to McDonald's because they had those, what they call the ball pits, where everybody, all the kids would rush in there. And it wasn't very sanitary. I'm just going to tell you, it just wasn't. And so it used to just kind of gross me out. I just didn't like it. But the playgroup, the moms all wanted to go there because they could spend a couple hours and the kids could play and have fun. And I said, okay. So he must have been closer to 18 months because he was able to go run around at McDonald's. Anyway, long story short, he was in this car seat. It was a very hot day in Arizona. And I parked the car at McDonald's and I get out of the car and the car locked behind me and locked him in this hot car. It was horrible. I can still see it. When I close my eyes, I can still see it. It was so horrible of a few minutes that I really thought, oh my goodness, my son is going to fry in this car. This is like a horrible way for everyone. I mean, and I couldn't even imagine telling my husband at the time, you know, this is what happened. I started to panic, absolutely panic. And I wasn't screaming, but I was yelling for help. I said, please, somebody help me. Please, somebody help me. Nobody would really help me at that time. I got there early. So the playgroup, the moms weren't there yet. And finally, somebody saw me in the parking lot and called the police. Before you know it, there were all these trucks and police and fire, everything. Everybody was there, and they knew they had to break the window or to kind of get into the window, bring it down so they could unlock it. It was one of these electronic locks of a car that was. It was really bizarre. It locked everything. I don't know. It wasn't. It was. I don't think it was that great of a car for a little kid to be in there. But anyway, long story short. Again. I was told by the police officers, just keep your son calm. Just whatever you do, keep your son calm. Talk to your son through the window. And here I am crying and shaking, and I'm a new mom, and I'm just saying, son, just please hang on. And he's going, okay, mommy, okay. And I'm going, it's all good, sweetheart. Everything's great. We're going to McDonald's. And oh, it was horrible. And it took, the police officer was so wonderful. He was able to not break the window. He brought the window down, unlocked it. My son was safe. But I have to tell you that I think it somewhat traumatized me, because I double check everything, make sure I do have, Ellen, just like you, I make sure I have the keys, I have the cell phone, I make sure everybody's out of the house or out of the car or out of anywhere so that everybody's safe. But yeah, can you imagine if, God forbid, something had happened? I mean, that would have been horrible. I mean, you know, and so my heart goes out for folks that things like that happen, or accidents, especially if there's like a pool and there's a drowning or something of that nature. My heart just aches when I hear those stories, because I can only imagine what went on inside of them when they had to deal with that with their child. So yeah, that's my full disclosure of that. That's probably like the worst, I wouldn't say it was trouble, but that was like the worst situation I was in that really was brutal for me. But let's hear what Tony has to say in Cleveland, Ohio, listening on The Rock. Hi, Tony. Thanks for waiting and welcome.
Can you hear me?
I can. Yeah, talk nice and loud there.
I'm online right now.
Yes, you're on the air. Go right ahead, sir.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my worst experience, it wasn't of a sudden occasion. It was kind of like evolved over a period of time. But anyways, I'm retired. I used to be a systems analyst, and I put a lot of energy into developing like a consulting service to sell something called systems thinking. Put a lot of time, heart, and energy into it. Really think it's a good idea, but I wasn't able to sell it. So I experienced a significant crushing defeat is the best way I could describe it. Mm. But on the plus side, you know, when I pray, I put much more focus on giving glory and praise to Jesus. I put more oomph into my prayer life. And the payoff of that has been, you know, well worth the effort to have tried but failed, but found a new life with Jesus. With that, I pass.
Wow. So explain a little bit more on what you learned from all this, Tony, so that we can get a better understanding of what you've been through.
Well, a lot of people in the know say my consulting approach of doing systems thinking was spot on. Some very knowledgeable people agreed with it, but it's not properly accepted. There's properly accepted ways, and there's other ways. And what I learned was that I can't force it. That try to do my best, try to make a mark in the world for the good, but that it's not always going to turn out for the best.
Right.
You know, the Psalms are a great source of reading. They talk about tragedy happening even the best of intentions.
Yeah.
Well, I think I had the best of intentions, but it's tragic. I think it ended pretty. I wasted a couple years in retirement. That's the lesson I learned, is that you can't always expect what you think is right to happen, and God's there either way, and there's always strength and strength, power, and hope through Jesus.
So you just kind of roll past it. Those couple years, you learned from it, you grew from it. You just said, okay, I'm just going to keep going on with life. I mean, that's interesting. You know, what I'm trying to tap into, Tony, is what did you learn about yourself through those couple years?
Oh, I learned that, I think in many systems thinking is kind of an esoteric thing. To me, it's as natural as duck on a water's back. But so I learned a lot about myself, and about what I think is easy, a lot of people don't think so.
Right. Right.
That's I learned, and I learned that I have a gift, maybe, in terms of being able to do it and express it.
Do you feel close? Go ahead.
I hope it depends upon the Lord.
I was just going to say, do you feel close to the Lord?
Oh yeah, when you see that, hey, this is spot on. What needs to be done, it's got huge potential benefit, and at the same time, you're just running against one wall versus another about the. Mm-hmm. The ways of the world, the way they're set into place, it drives you to your knees, believe me.
Wow.
It drives you to your knees, and actually, beyond being driven to my knees, it's being lifted up. That's the important part, being lifted up with giving glory and praise to God on a daily basis, and strongly feeling a sense of being lifted up like I've never felt it before. And I'm 70 years old.
Wow. Tony, you're pretty cool. I love your contribution today. I appreciate it. It helped to shape this discussion. Thank you so very much, sir.
Have a great day.
Thank you. God bless you. You as well. I just wanted to share real quickly, Don, hold on, in Houston, Texas. I'm going to get to you next. So hold on, Don. I just wanted to share Reviving America Summit. If you're ready to turn around the State of the Union, the Reviving America Summit is for you. Over 25 Christ-centered leaders reveal a 5-week roadmap for renewing faith, family, life, liberty, and leadership. It's now through August 30th with powerful sessions every day. Join David B. Wright and thousands of online believers to see and hear dynamic talks from folks like, and there's many of them, Father John Ricardo, Dr. Scott Hahn, Curtis Martin, Bishop Mike Sis, it goes on and on, Jeff Cavins. It's absolutely free. Sign up now at revivingamericasummit.com. Okay, let's get to Don in Houston, Texas on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Don. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. Go right ahead.
I wanted to share, because we were talking about, I'm going to put you on the speaker. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Yes. You're okay. Doing great. Go right ahead.
When I was 15, we were living in apartments, and it was the summer, and hardly anybody was around in the summertime, and a stranger came around the patio with a gun and made me go into the apartment, and we think that he thought I was much older than I was, and he tied up my hands, and we went into the my bedroom, because he said he just wanted money, and it was just extremely scary. I kept talking because I was really super nervous, and at one point he said, I said, well, what are you going to do if I do scream? And he said, well, I'll just kill both of us. Ooh. And I was trying to make a lot of excuses, like my mother would be home any minute and stuff like that, and although it was very traumatic, he did not assault me. But later on, we found out that he had assaulted multiple women in that part of town.
Mm.
And I really believe that God was the one there that kept me from being assaulted at 15 years of age. I felt like he was protecting me. And I think that's when I really developed a dependence on that God is here and he's going to get me through whatever happens.
Mm-hmm. Were you always were you close to God before that? Because you said this was age 15. I'm just curious as when did you in your young years start to develop your relationship with God? I'm getting to my point in a moment after you answer this question.
Okay. My mom was Catholic and she was raised, kind of boarded out with different people.
Mm-hmm.
But our family had been Catholic, and she was determined that I be baptized. She even had me baptized 3 months after I was born on Halloween. Then I made my first Holy Communion, and I was attending Catholic school at the time, and it was all-girls Catholic school, and I distinctly remember my first Holy Communion. I mean, just beautiful, and it was very, affected me strongly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we didn't go to church on a regular basis. My mom was a single mom. My dad died when I was a baby. She didn't get us to church every day, but she made sure I made all my sacraments. And I was also married in the Catholic Church at the same church that my husband's parents got married in Houston.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I can't go into the multiple times that God or the Blessed Mother have stepped up and helped me, because when my mother, this is just in 2010. I didn't know my mother was as bad off as she was, living on the other side of town. And when I couldn't get a hold of her on my 50th birthday, I knew something was wrong, because we always talked on her birthday. And she was near death. And the whole way over across town, I prayed to the Blessed Mother to help me get through this situation. And called 911. They told me what hospital to take her to. I knew the Blessed Mother was right there with me. I found a rosary in the parking lot from parking my car and going into the LBJ hospital. And I just clung to that rosary. Mm-hmm. And I knew that she was walking me through this. And my mother died in less than a month. And she had just had last rites, which I hadn't been able to get a hold of the priest. Mm-hmm. I had left messages at my church. And he just showed up on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. And there he was. And I recognized him. And I don't know how he happened to come. I mean, it was a God thing. Mm-hmm. People give me strange looks, but it had to have been a God thing because I must have just left the name and address of where she was, right. And he showed up because I had been trying all week to get somebody to come and do last rites for her. And then immediately after Father Tran did last rites, my husband said, "Excuse me," and I look over at him and he goes, "I think she just passed." Wow. It was like within 15 minutes. He showed up. He did last rites. She took her last breath very calmly. And it was just so amazing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you had called about traumatic things. And I think that when that happened to me at 15, I changed a lot. You know, I got to very jumpy and very, you know, and I had to cling to God because of his ability. He's the only one that has the ability to take care of me and get me through everything. No human being has that capacity. As much as I would, they might want to help me, you know, I feel like God is the one who we really have to ultimately put first in our life. Oh, I'll turn it over to you.
Well, no, I just want to say, thank goodness your mom had the desire and wanted you baptized. And then you said in Catholic school. And so you developed that attachment already at a young age. I do believe absolutely when being attacked at that age, so many things could have gone so wrong. And really you could have lost your life. And I believe your guardian angel was right there protecting you, the Blessed Mother, all of heaven. And so, yeah, it's incredible what you had to go through at such a young age. But look what it's produced today, Dawn. You have such a beautiful, grace-filled relationship with God. I love it. Thank you so much. And thank you for sharing today. That's important. What you shared can help others and it can get them closer to God as well when they go through traumatic situations. And believe me, that had to have been very frightening at age 15. Okay, thank you, Dawn. Esperanza, I'm going to try to squeeze you in. And Esperanza's in Flowery Branch, Georgia on Alexa. I've only got a couple minutes, but I wanted to squeeze you in. Hello, Esperanza. Go right ahead.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much. Please tell us what you wanted to share.
I just want to share you. Definitely was a very traumatic experience. My son was almost 2 years old. We were visiting my father-in-law. And we were at the beach. So we have a baby with us. My father-in-law is that baby. When I turned around, I didn't see my son any longer. He was two years old. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, he's deaf. So, it was very painful looking for him. Mm-hmm. We couldn't call him. He couldn't hear us.
Right, because he couldn't hear
you. I was looking for him everywhere. I think it was half an hour. I don't know how long was that, you know, when in the situation, you don't know the time. So I went to tell my husband, because he was across the street with my father-in-law helping him in something. I went to tell him that I lost one. I couldn't see where he was. Mm-hmm. And he was next to him. He walked the street. He crossed the US-1, A1A, very busy street. And he was next to my husband.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank God.
You know, thank God. I've been Catholic all my life, and I always know that God is with us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was you know, you made me hold my breath and my heart stopped because actually as you were sharing about trying to find Juan, it actually jogged a memory. It's a similar thing happened with me and my oldest son too at a retail store where I couldn't find him. And that was the year when kids were getting, you know, kidnapped and taken, you know, just minutes away from a parent. So I can just imagine the panic and the feeling that you had. And then especially you're saying that he's was hearing impaired, so you couldn't even you scream out his name. He wasn't going to hear it. Oh, my goodness. But then when you saw him next to your husband, that must have brought such an incredible sigh of relief and joy. But and also it does change us as parents, because you probably became hyper vigilant, right, Esperanza?
Oh, yeah. We even thought about put something on him that with the name and phone number.
Yeah. Yeah, to identify. Absolutely. Yeah, Esperanza, thank you so much. I'm so glad I got to squeeze you in, and God bless you. You're a beautiful soul. And the other callers, I'm not going to get to you today. I'm so sorry. Maybe tomorrow. There is Shannon on YouTube. Interesting comments about trouble that we've gotten into. Look it up on YouTube, Facebook. Like us on the Jerry and Debbie Facebook page. Just to know, tomorrow is... When was a time you chose to embrace pain? When was a time you chose to embrace pain? We're going to talk about that tomorrow. It's going to be a very, very powerful show. And that's tomorrow. Thank you to Charles, Matt, and Michael, and all the affiliates that carry Take Two. You're doing great work. Thank you so very much. Until tomorrow, have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you real soon.